Well, let me invite you this morning to find your sermon notes. It looks something like this. Of course, yours doesn't have the blanks filled in, so you got to pay attention if you want to get that part. I hope that you will use these for the rest of the week as well as part of your continuing devotions and your connection with the Lord. Let me begin with a little quiz today, and we'll start this off. How many of you are familiar with the Capital One commercials? Samuel L. Jackson, remember those? He asked, "What's in your wallet?" Well, let me ask you this morning, what's in your wallet? Take it out, let's see. All right? Take out your wallet, let's see what's in there. Here's mine. Handsome-looking man right there on the front. Yeah, he's put a little weight since this picture was taken, looks like. We do have a few credit cards, no Capital One. We've got several others. Got my library card, insurance cards, a couple receipts. Mainly, though, what I'm interested in is these guys. See if you can find those. Anybody have any grants this morning in there? Any Andrew Jackson's, not Samuel, but Andrew Jackson, is he in there? You know, I've only got a Hamilton. He's not even a president. And I've got an Abe Lincoln as well. Now, these are only in my wallet. My wife gave these to me for demonstration purposes this morning. Otherwise, there wouldn't be anything in there at all. There's a George. Take a look at the back. I'm not so much interested on the front, but take a look at the back. Now, on Hamilton's, there's a picture of the U.S. Treasury because he was Secretary of the Treasury at one time. What does it say right above that? And whatever bill you've got, it'll say the same thing. What does it say? Anybody? In God we trust. So it doesn't matter the denomination. Since 1957, every American dollar currency has had those words printed on the back. And since 1864, every U.S. coin is printed with "In God We Trust," because it is our national motto. In fact, by an act of Congress on July the 30th, 1956, the 84th Congress wrote a bill, and President Eisenhower signed into law that this replaces E Pluribus Unum, "In God We Trust." Now, here's our question for the day. What would happen if we actually believed this? And how would our life look if we lived in such a way that we truly trusted in God? Now, it would be easy for me to stand up here and simply tell all of you to believe in God, to trust in Him. But it's not always that easy, is it? It's kind of like the little boy who wanted a bicycle. He saw his older brother's bicycle. He envied that bicycle, and he went to his brother and he asked him, "How'd you get it?" And the older brother said, "Well, I prayed for it." So you could do the same. And the little boy said, "Well, you know, I'm not so good at praying. How about you pray for another one and I'll just take yours?" Now, wouldn't it be great if that's how it worked? Yeah, we just say, let's do this. But it's a little bit more difficult than that. But let's take a look to see what our part might be. If you look at the verse again, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path." What is our part? What's our part in the equation? It's trust, right? Our part is trusting. And God's part is guiding. We trust, He will guide. So we begin with this. Let's be confident in God's care. Now, just a few minutes ago, Laura was telling the children about how she woke up at night and she had some worries. She had some concerns. She was concerned especially about her mother. Now, when you go to bed at night, what do? Do you just put one foot up on the mattress? Or do you put half of your body on the mattress? If you do, you're not sleeping very well. I can assure you that. You put your whole body on the mattress, don't you? In the Hebrew, that's what the word trust means. To put your entire weight on something. Just like you trust that mattress is going to hold you up at night, That is how we trust God as well. But we need to understand it's not enough to just trust God. We are to trust Him with all of our heart, with every fiber of our being. Because if we aren't trusting fully, then we aren't trusting at all. Those of you who are married know a little bit about what I'm talking about. I'm thinking again this afternoon, I have a wedding. Andrew Canella, Kelly Ibbotson, we're going to be married 3:30 at the historic church. And as we go through the vows, there is that part where they pledge to one another their faithfulness. It's all about trust. It's about fidelity to one person, trusting in them wholly and completely. Now, there's a legend about trust, about Adam and Eve. It's not in the Bible, so don't look it up in Genesis. There's a great legend about Adam and Eve, and it goes kind of like this. Adam wakes up after God has put him into the deep sleep, and he takes a rib, and he creates Eve, and he wakes up, and he sees this beautiful woman. He goes, wow, this is incredible. I think I'll call her Eve, which means princess. And everything went really well for a while. But then Eve began to get suspicious. Yeah, because you see, Adam would take these long walks at night. Now, he told Eve that he was naming all the animals, and she says, yeah, sure, right. You're going after other women, aren't you? He says, Eve, you're crazy. You know, God only made one woman. I don't know what you're worried about. Well, it put her heart at ease, at least for a little bit. So they went to bed that night, and till finally, about midnight, Eve is poking Adam in the chest. And he says, Eve, what are you doing? She says, well, I'm just counting the ribs to make sure. It's all about trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then the next part, and lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. It doesn't mean, as Laura said, that we don't use our mind. God has given us a sanctified brain. We are to use common sense, and yet way too often, instead of trusting in God's direction and His plan, we try to make up our own. How many of you have nightlights at home? Anybody have nightlights yet for the little ones? We have night lights at our house. We put them in when the boys were small. You see, I got tired of getting that call in the middle of the night where the boys would say, Dad, can you get me a drink? So we put in night lights, and I said, boys, you can go get your own drink. That's what the light's for. Well, we don't use it that way in our house anymore. After all, Philip is gone, and Andrew's in college, and John is 18, so they don't have to get up and get the drink and use the light anymore. The light is instead for me, the old guy in the house. And I'm not getting up for a drink, I can assure you, in the middle of the night. But I need that light. I don't want to be walking in the darkness. Might stub my toe or something like that. And yet that's exactly what we do so much in our life. We lean on our own understanding. We think we know best. We think we have the best plan. But if we're doing that, we're walking in our own darkness rather than in God's light. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. If you take a look at the Bible, we see example after example after example where people did not follow the conventional wisdom. They didn't lean on their own understanding, but rather they followed the direction of God. Just two examples here. Remember David, before he was king. He goes out and he fights the giant Goliath. Does anybody remember what Saul wanted him to take to fight the giant? Not what he did take, but what Saul, the king, wanted him to take. Do you remember? Armor and a big sword. And what did David take? Slingshot and five smooth stones. It only took one. And you remember what Goliath said? He taunted him when he came out. He said, what, are you going to fight me like a dog with sticks? Conventional wisdom says you can't fight a 9-foot giant if you're not armed, at the least, with armor and a sword. But David followed God's direction. He was confident in God's care. What about Noah? How much had it rained before Noah built the ark? Not at all. Not at all. Can you imagine? There's never been any rain on the earth, and God says, go build this huge boat on dry land. And all the people say, you are nuts. You're crazy. And yet, it was only Noah and his family of 8 that survived the flood. Do not lean on your own understanding, but be confident like David and Noah in God's care for you. And then it says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. This word, acknowledge, it just means to recognize or to see. What would your life be like if you saw God in everything? What if you saw God at work? What if you saw God at school? What if you saw God in your relationships? Or in your wallet? How would your life look? Whether we are going to play or to pray, to work or to worship, we should be looking for God. You know, being guided by God means that there are no ifs, no ands, no buts in His purpose for your life. We talked about our wallet earlier and about the money that's in it. Congress decided about 100 years ago that it's difficult to carry gold in your wallet. And so, instead of carrying large amounts of paper cash like this, you can simply write a check. First, it was done for corporations, and then they figured out that it could be done for individuals as well. And so when you write a check, you are guaranteeing that there is money there in the bank. In acknowledging God, it's a lot like having a blank check, where you simply sign the bottom and then leave the details to God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And now comes the promise. We've been talking about our part, which is, again, trusting. And what is God's part? Guiding. If we truly do trust in Him, if we're confident in His care, if we know that He is going to be there with us, then He will make straight our paths. But it still begs the question, how does He do that? How does God direct us? Well, very simply, He does it through His Word. He does it through the written Word, the Bible. There we have this book that guides us through this life. I had a seminary professor once who said that the Word of God is 95% of all that you need for His instruction. So you ask, where's the other 5% come from? Well, have you ever heard that still small voice? I know I have. And I know that when I listen to it, that God is going to guide me in a way that is going to bear fruit, where He's going to bless me. And if I ignore it, then I miss out on that opportunity. You know when it comes to me the most? When one of you are sick. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard that still small voice when I'm quiet and I listen to it. And God says, you need to call so-and-so. Or you need to go visit so-and-so. And the few times where I've ignored it, almost inevitably, I've missed an opportunity at the very end of someone's life to bring them the gospel of peace before they wake up and see the Lord in heaven. Pay attention to the still, small voice. God still speaks to your heart. And He also speaks to you through the counsel, the godly counsel of those people that we call our Christian brothers and sisters. It's why it's so important for us to be in a Bible study together. Surely all of us should be reading every day the Bible and listening to what God has to say, listening to His instruction, listening to His direction. But it's so wonderful to have that godly counsel of others who can make sure that we are following the right path. As we conclude this morning, some of you will remember last week, the very beginning of the message, I talked about what it might be like to be flying in a twin-seat Cessna. And I said, what would you do if the pilot was flying the plane and he had a heart attack and died? And he gave the illustration of listening to the guide who helps you land that plane. Well, today let's take it up a little notch. Let's say it's not a Cessna. Let's say it is a Navy fighter plane. Anybody ever flown one of those? I have not. I can't even imagine what it would be like. Can't even imagine flying the twin engine or the twin seat Cessna. Now you're in one of those fighter planes, and you have to land on an aircraft carrier. This tiny little landing strip on a vessel that is moving away from you, bobbing up and down and rolling with the waves. And at the very last second, as you hit that deck, you have to drop your tail hook to catch onto a cable so you don't crash into the ocean. You're never going to make it on your own. In fact, I'm told that there is a landing signal officer there on the deck with what look kind of like tennis rackets of different colors. And they give you signals up or down or right or left. And at the very last second, they will tell you by signal either to put the nose up and come in for another attempt or to cut the engine completely and drop the cable so that you can land. It's very much what our life is like, don't you think? Who are you going to trust? Yourself, who makes mistakes day after day? Didn't we just confess a little while ago that we all have troubles and anxieties and worries? Or are you going to trust the Lord of the universe, the Creator of the world, the Savior of your soul, the one who never makes a mistake? If you truly trust in Him, if you make Him your pilot, and He will guide you safely each and every day until that time when you make your final landing before He takes you home to be with Him in heaven forever. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path.